topic by Pastor Edwin. He said, okay, on November 26, please speak on this topic. And I look at the topic, it says, the folly of the foolish. And immediately I was concerned whether he meant it that it takes a foolish man to talk about foolishness or you know, that maybe this is something that the church needs, you know. And of course we have, you know, not we, but some people may have the, what I call the NFM syndrome. When they come to church and then they look at the topic and they say, this is NFM. So NFM means not for me. But I assure all of us that this topic is for all of us, right? Indeed, we need God's word to speak to us on this. Clearly, you know, this is, I believe, something that we will benefit greatly from. So, you know, we are been going through the book of Ecclesiastes, and we have come to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And I call the Ecclesiastes chapter 10 the CSI chapter. So in case some of you may think immediately of this television series of CSI Las Vegas, CSI New York, and San Francisco, and CSI is, in this case, in the context of this morning's message, is not a crime scene investigation. Certainly nobody here committed a crime of foolishness. but certainly, you know, CSI is common sense instructions. Okay, so today, this morning, CSI means common sense instruction. And clearly, as we will see later on, that chapter 10 of the book of Ecclesiastes has a lot of common sense instructions for all of us. And we all need it. And clearly, one of the things that pop up to my mind as I look through Ecclesiastes chapter 10 is that little things can have great consequences. And really, everything starts in the heart, with the heart. And the heart is really critical and crucial in order not to commit foolishness. And it talks about lifestyles, it talks about leadership, it talks about labor. We all, you know, we all work, we all expend energy on the things that we want to accomplish. So clearly it talks about labor, it talks about our words as well. So this morning we're going to look at what God's word has to say about our words, the words that come out from our mouth. So when it comes to all these, we have to act like we have some sense. And the way to have this sense is we need God's wisdom in us. Amen? So let's look at the first few chapters of Ecclesiastes chapter 10. It says here, as dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, and the heart of the fool to the left. Even as fools walk along the road, they lack sense and show everyone how stupid they are. Isn't that true? You know? So I always come across this phrase, fly in the ointment, fly in the ointment, you know. And really, the origin of that is from God's word. A fly in an ointment, a tiny, inconspicuous fly that we don't even bother, all right, to even notice. Once it ends up in a perfume, in a bottle of perfume, it will just simply take away all the sweet aroma of that perfume. And almost immediately, that fly in the perfume turns it bad. So it's clear to us that, you know, a little folly cancels, wipe away all the wisdom that we may have displayed earlier on. And verse 2 says, the heart of the wise inclines to the right, and the heart of the fools to the left. And I used to drive, you know, until maybe 5 years ago. And when I look at this, this is just a bit of humor. So when I look at it, I say, oh, you know, let me rephrase it in this way to to my friends in Europe and America. I said, oh, the wise drive on the right-hand side, and the fools have a left-hand drive. So the wise are right-hand drive, and the fools left-hand drive. But of course, we know it's not true. But I like to poke fun at my friends who are driving on the other side. And whenever I go over to Europe and America, I always struggle with that. But I soon got used to it. And we will see that, fools let their foolishness be known and be seen and observed by everyone else. So let us be reminded from these three verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 10 that a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. And it's easier to make a stink than to create sweetness, isn't it? All right? So we have a few of these. Who can recognize the guy on the left? That's right, a very unglamorous mugshot of world famous former number one golfer Tiger Woods. He committed folly, as we all know, and he hasn't been the same since. He has fallen a long, long way. And that, to me, is an example of how all the talents, all the accolades, all the triumphs, all the achievements is, simply wiped away because of indiscretions in his life or an area in his life that is just so weak that he has to give in. And, of course, the guy in the middle there also it was riding high, and he's one of I'm sure in my generation he has to be among the top three comedian, and we love to watch his shows, the Bill Cosby show, and with his lawyer wife and his adorable children, and he lately has all this wiped away as well, and the guy on the right may not be so familiar. How many of you recognize the guy on the right? I have a prize. Ah, good. What is his name? Okay, sorry. I can't. That's right. Yeah. You said the right country. You said the right case, but I need the name. Sorry. Okay, never mind. All right. So the guy on the right, and Pastor Lai is right, the guy on the right is Professor Huang Woo-suk. So Huang Woo-suk was really the star scientist of his field. So he's into genetics. And he was successful in cloning, and he could clone dogs. So someone with a much beloved dog and dying, and he could clone this so that it's like you have your best friend live on almost indefinitely by having succession of cloning. And then he decided to do a leap of faith, but it's not a good faith, but it's bad faith, that he claimed he could clone human. And he thinks that because he already successfully did it in dogs, he could do it in human as well. And he had this rather simple plan that, his own reasoning, and that's why a lot of the foolishness starts in one's mind. He says, well, sooner or later, somebody's going to do it. And maybe it'll take another 2 years. In his own estimation, it'll take probably another 1 or 2 years. So why don't I be the first to report it and claim that I did it? And then there will be a number two and a number three guy somewhere in the world, maybe from Singapore, who said that they could claim human. All right? And he did that. But unfortunately, whatever that he claimed, just didn't have substantial backing. And soon, people from his lab started confessing that these data are false, in fact, and he dropped a long, long way down. And this is, these are examples how a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor, and all of these are in the hall of fame of dishonor in their respective you know, fields. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we read, and this is from the message that Pastor Edwin preached, it says here, the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, and one sinner destroys much good. So these were the last two verses of chapter 9, and immediately in chapter 10, verse 1, we read about a fly spoiling a bottle of perfume. All these have the same thing. And of course, in the old days, they don't separate the Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and chapter 10 in that way. And I believe this is something that we need to remind ourselves this morning, how one sinner destroys much good and one fly spoils the whole bottle of perfume. Okay? So we can see here from the first three verses that, number one, little things can have great consequences, so be very careful about our actions. Folly means lack of good sense or foresight. A lot of times, foolishness are committed because the person who committed did not consider step 3, step 4, step 5, step 6. They only thought about 1 and 2, and they say, okay, it looks good, it seems good, and it feels good, do it. But actually, if you look into 4, 5, 6, and so on, it's actually bad. So folly means lack of foresight or good sense, not looking at the consequences. And in verse 2, again, as I said, you know, everything starts in the heart. And so the question is, which heart is, which way, which direction is our heart inclined to? Is it inclined towards God, or is it inclined away from God? Because it determines, it depends whether it's going to be wise action or foolish action. And we have to think about it in our heart itself, you know, whether our heart is inclined towards God or towards away from God. It's just like if I wish to go to Changi Airport, I shouldn't be driving west because I can never reach Changi, or even though how much I hope to reach Changi by driving towards Tuas, I can never reach Changi. Okay? So that is very important. The direction determines the destination. So the direction of our hearts is so important. Let our hearts be directed towards God all the time. And because our inclination determines our lifestyle, it determines our reputation. And one thing to remember from this, the verse 2 especially, is that wisdom and foolishness point in opposite direction. Just as the illustration I gave you about Changi and Tuas. Okay? So let's go on. So verse 3 says, even as fools walk along the road, they lack sense and show everyone how stupid they are. And I guess a lot of us may have encountered instances where we can recognize something that is not so smart from people acting it out. Because what is inside will eventually show up on the outside. The Bible says we can identify a fool by his walk, not because he walked crookedly, but maybe by the way he acts, by the way he does things, and whether it's to do with his job or certain pursuit in life. So our inclination will show up in our demonstration, which then produces our reputation. So, you know, I'm sure we all know who this guy is. And to me, of course, the actor Rowan Atkinson is a very smart guy. He graduated from Oxford, but or at least he studied in Oxford. But he loves to portray Mr. Bean, who epitomizes or personifies someone who is not so smart. And one of my favorite scenes is this: he was at an airport on a travelator like the one that we have in Changi. And in his usual way, he looks rather suspicious. And he wanted to take something from his jacket, inside the jacket. And then as he was reaching out, he could see that the police were looking at him and then kind of pointing at him. And he became rather conscious about what he's doing. And they started walking towards him. And as you know, can imagine in your mind, Mr. Bean got a bit worried and said, "Oh my, these guys are coming towards me. And I'm on a travelator going towards them." So he decided at that instant that he's going to turn around and then try to walk the other way from the police. But he's on a travelator, and he can never outrun the travelator. And he was basically doing his best to go the other direction, but basically he's stationary. And obviously he was confronted by the police, and the police demanded what is on his pocket, and which actually turned out to be a pen. So really, I mean, that's just one example. And I'm sure those of you who are fans of Mr. Bean will have your own favorable scene of him doing silly things. So the thing really is, how can we be foolproof? How can we be foolproof in 2018? 2017 is coming to an end. How can we be foolproof in 2018? And of course, the rest of 2017. and the answer is in the Word of God. Okay, so we'll leave it to later. Let's move on. We're going to the next few verses, verses 4 to 7. If a ruler anger rises against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great offenses to rest. Verse 5, there is an evil I have seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. Fools are put in many high positions, while the rich occupy the low ones. Verse 7, I have seen slaves on horseback, while princes go on foot like slaves. So clearly this is a couple of verses that talks about the contrast. So immediately we can see contrast in these verses. So let's look at verse 4 from a different angle, and maybe in a language that we may be more used to. So verse 4, another way of paraphrasing it is this: when your boss gets angry at you, let it go. Never let another person's actions determine your reaction. Just hang in there and deal with the person. And I would also add, and deal with the emotion as well. Keep your cool and maintain your composure. And I must add that composure is so, so important. I'm a sports fan. I watch almost any sports that is on offer, including netball. And I noticed that a lot of times what determines the performance is the composure of the team as a whole, or the composure of the individual when it comes to tennis. Composure is so important. Maintain your composure, meaning to say, have it all together. Don't break up. In so doing, you may one day gain a hearing from your superior. It may cause a superior to think, this guy is different. This guy doesn't react. This guy is so cool. I must talk to him and find out. You know, and that's your opportunity to share. Okay? So, you know, we... next... So we this is a cartoon. And this is, it's very easy when I Google terrible bosses or I get like millions of rest. It's like almost everyone is saying, oh, 15 traits of a bad boss, or 8 ways to tell that you have a lousy boss, blah, 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 or the boss from hell and that kind of thing. And this is just one cartoon that I picked up. They are always yelling. There's fear of conflict. They are indirect. They rule by fear. And they have very fuzzy expectation. It's like you don't know what they want. You thought they want A, but they actually wanted B, and so on and so forth. But really, verse 4 is not about terrible bosses. Sorry. Verse 4 is about the guy who is in charge of you or your boss being angry at you. Okay, so that's a big difference. Okay, so let's go on. So how do you deal with such a boss? Verse 4 has very good advice for us. Verse 4 tells us, if you have a boss who, for whatever reason best known to him, is angry at you and maybe even yells at you, verse 4 tells us, don't quit. Don't quit or resign. Just because he yells at you or gets angry at you, and then your mind starts to think, okay, he's really mad at me now, and next thing I know, I'm going to be moved to another office, and then after that, I'm going to move to another branch, and then I'm going to move out of this island into somewhere else, and that sort of thing. Sometimes, just from a shout, or maybe an angry episode from a boss may cause the employee all kinds of imagination, like if he's like this to me today, tomorrow he might do something else and everything else and so on. But the advice given here in verse 4 is don't quit or resign. Allow God to develop within you a gentle, quiet spirit. That's what we need. You know, we need a gentle and quiet spirit, especially if you're working in SMRT. No, I mean any other place as well, right? That you need a gentle and quiet spirit to know that, you know, this will come to pass. This will just blow over. Importantly is to fix our attention on God, who is the unchanging God. So take the high road. Or take the high ground, control yourself, and as someone said, be the bigger person, be the bigger man, or be the bigger person. And if you are able to do that, you will be a leader, because a leader is someone who controls his or her emotion. Of course, you know, when we encounter abusive bosses or bad bosses, you naturally wish that they are not part of your life, that, you know, this guy should just go away and not be seen. And we all have that wish in our minds, right? Right? Okay, I don't see a lot of nod here. Is that right? Or should I change my message to honesty and all kinds of... Okay, so we all wish that they could just maybe be promoted and then move out of this floor and go somewhere else, even higher or whatever. I mean, sometimes we also, you know, don't want to wish bad things. We want to wish good things, but whatever it takes to get them out of our lives, right? So life without them would be so much easier, but imagine we'll be perhaps spiritually flabby, all right? If everything is so rosy for us, we don't have the opportunity to develop that fiber, that strength, that steel in us. And also because of these terrible people, unreasonable people, some of them our bosses, we are forced to grow in areas that would otherwise remain undeveloped for God. And take this in a very positive way. So let's move on. So verse 5 talks about leaders making errors, and we can see that almost on a daily basis. If you read the newspaper, the world news, what I'm referring to is the world news, that leaders make errors. Some of them are great errors, whether it's mistreating a certain minority in the country or something else, or raising the taxes or something like that. And we have seen that incompetent people are in high positions and the competent ones are in low positions. So we have seen that, just as the Kohelet have seen through his lifetime, that those who work hard are often lose their position. Those who are successful often lose their position. Those who are less competent and qualified are given such a position. You know, even the general who won the war for the country may be replaced subsequently because certain politicians in the country may be threatened by him because of his rising public popularity. And if you look at the history of China, there are many such generals. Even recently, also, there are examples of that. So that is the observation of the Kohelet. And, of course, if you were to look at... next slide, please. This cartoon, you could see some of the examples of leaders who are out to outdo each other in more foolish things. Okay, so let's not dwell on this two anymore. Verse 8 to 10 talks about effort, talks about labor. Okay, verse 8 says, whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Verse 9, whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Whoever split logs may be endangered by them. Verse 10, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. So what does this mean to us? So whoever digs a pit, whoever breaks a wall, whoever quarries stones, whoever split logs, these are labors. These are efforts. These are, you know, for those with strength and who are willing to exercise strength, effort, labor to accomplish certain things, whether it's digging a pit or breaking a wall or quarry stones or split logs. Sounds rather reasonable kind of effort and objectives. But then bad things happen to them, right? They either fall into a pit, they are bitten by a snake on the other side of the wall, you get stones that are injured, the guy who breaks them or logs that endanger them. What does all this mean? So let's take a look, a closer look. What it means is that we must apply wisdom in order to get the job done. In other words, effort, labor itself is not enough. We have to be careful. We have to apply wisdom in our job. So we have to think before we act. We also have to think while we are acting. And we have to also think after we have finished acting. At every step, we have to think and observe. Be careful. Because we all have energy. We, you know, some of us have tremendous gusto or even perseverance. And we can go out and dig a big pit, like I once did because I was keen to have a fish pond in my back garden. but we have to stay away from the edge because after you dig a hole, the edge is rather unstable. So if having finished digging a deep hole and you kind of want to examine or admire your work, and you step a bit closer and closer and closer, like what I'm trying to do here on the stage, I might fall, and then Pastor Lai will have to catch me. At least I hope. Anyway, so you see what I mean? This can happen. You know, for someone who have successfully dug a deep hole, and he was very happy because he woke up very early that day, He was very disciplined, so he congratulated himself. He gave himself 1,000 points that day for waking up early and working from morning until evening. And he must be patting himself on the back and say, "You have done a good job. You know, you have worked from morning to night." And then he starts to admire his work. And the closer he gets to the hole, and he gets too close, he falls down, and he has a broken bone or worse still than that. Okay, he spent the night in the hole, something like that. So these verses are telling us that yes, we may have expended effort and diligence in getting work done, but we have to be careful. We have to watch out for the blind spots or the unexpected. Okay, so avoid the perils of your own work. We have to be wise as well as energetic. It's not enough just to have the energy. We must have wisdom to go with it. So, be smart with your energy, diligence, and talents. And whether it's cutting stones or chopping trees, it's typically better to work smart instead of harder. And if we exercise wisdom, we will not just have success, but we will also avoid the pitfalls of not watching out for certain things, blind spots and things like that, that can maybe unentangle or disrupt or destroy all our effort. Just like verse 1, fly in the ointment. Remember, something insignificant may just undo everything. Just like one small step too close to the edge of a hole that you just dig may just cause you to fall down and then suffer bad consequences. So what can we do to ensure success and not failure? This is something for us to think about. And the answer obviously lies in the message in Ecclesiastes. You must have wisdom. We all must have wisdom. Strength, effort is not enough. So let's move on. These few verses talks about applying wisdom in controlling words. So just now we talk about labor. Now we talk about words. Words are so important because words can build up, but words can also cut down and harm and hurt those people at the receiving end. So let me read to all of us verse 11. If a snake bites before it is charmed, the charmer receives no fee. Okay, very true. Verse 12, words from the mouth of the wise are gracious, but fools are consumed by their own lips. At the beginning of their words are folly, at the end they are wicked madness. So it's getting from bad to worse. And then fools multiply words. No one knows what is coming. Who can tell someone else what will happen after them? The toil of fools wearies them. They do not know the way to town. That means they don't have directions. Okay? So immediately, if you look at verse 11, it says here that Solomon has a point. So next slide. Solomon has a point in verse 11. So Solomon's point about the snake biting before it is charmed, and then the charmer receives no fee, is this, that you need to use the wisdom that you have within you, just like the snake charmer has to use the talents that he has before it's too late. That means, yes, you may have the know-how, but you must apply the know-how. It's not enough that you know it. You must do it. Because just like a snake charmer who may know what is it like to charm the snake, but let's say he forgot, he got lazy, or he got careless, and he didn't charm the snake bit him, then he get no fees because people say this is a lousy snake charmer. And of course, in all these cases, the snake charmer often remove the venom from the fang, so even they got bitten, they will not die. Just to let you all know that most of the time, you know, these they all take precaution because they are concerned. They all know about their the hazards at work. And of course, snake charmer has a great hazard at work, and that's why I don't know how much is their insurance. You know, most of the people won't insure them anyway. So, but anyway, back to this. Solomon's point is that we need to apply wisdom. So if the snake bites, the person who knows how to charm a snake, it's no better off than one who doesn't, because the moment the snake bit the snake charmer, he and me, we are the same, even though I don't know how to charm a snake, right? So the important thing is not just that you have the knowledge, but you must use it. And the key in these few verses is that we all need to control our words, because once our words goes out, there is no return. It's difficult to pull back, you know. And of course, sometimes when a hurtful thing is being said, and then the other say, you take back your words. You could say, yes, I take back, but still the words is already spoken. You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of a consolation thing to do, but really, the best thing is don't say it if it's, you know, it's going to hurt. Okay, next slide. So verse 12 basically says, be careful what you speak. Let's always be gracious, because gracious means to be right, to be kind, and to speak well, whereas to be consumed means to be swallowed up by those words that comes up from a foolish person. So this verse basically says, give a fool enough rope and he'll eventually hang himself. And really, a lot of us simply talk too much, and I need to be aware that I shouldn't talk too much this morning, so that I don't break Pastor Edwin's record. I got to, you know, I can't challenge him this way. I should not break his record. So anyway, a wise person once remarked that it's better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. This is actually one of my mother's favorite saying, right? So blessed is the man. Blessed is the man or woman, but mostly a man. Most of the time it's a man. So blessed is a man who keeps his mouth shut and let people think that he is a fool, than to open his mouth and confirm it to everyone. So that is that's what it was saying. So wisdom, and another way of putting it is, wisdom is the reward we get from listening. Oftentimes, wisdom grows in us when we listen. And listen carefully, and not fighting to talk all the time, because you don't get much wisdom coming in when you're talking all the time, right? So that's a very important thing. So verses 16 to 19 is about applying wisdom in leadership. So from the words, now we come to leadership. So verse 16 says, well, to the land whose king was a servant and whose princes feast in the morning. Blessed is the land whose king is of noble birth and whose princes eat at a proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Through laziness, the rafters sag. Because of idle hands, the house leaks. A feast is made for laughter, wine makes life merry, and money is the answer for everything. And in case you don't recognize it, the last sentence is said with a bit of sarcasm in the tone. Okay, so let's move on. So what does these verses mean? So what it means is we have observed throughout history and maybe in the modern days, how some leaders try to solve problems with pleasure, whether it is food or drink, and they think that just by entertaining the enemy or the opponent, one could easily resolve the conflict. It doesn't. And the point that these verses are saying to us is that we eat to live, and we do not live to eat. Therefore, self-discipline in a leader is absolutely crucial. There must be self-discipline, the right thing at the right time. So you don't drink early in the morning, and even that should even whether there should be some drinks with a meal, it has to be at the right occasion as well. Okay, and definitely where there is laziness, incompetence, or moral failure, clearly we will see that, that these are oftentimes indicators that the organization will not last. The same for a country. Okay, so the first priority for bad rulers, as we saw here, is to fulfill their own appetite and desires. Okay, and that is always a bad sign when the rulers seek their own benefit. And good rulers, on the other hand, are disciplined and they enjoy good things in moderation so that they focus and concentrate on governing well. And what verse 18 is saying is that although effort alone will not guarantee success, the lack of effort will almost certainly guarantee failure. So it's very important for leaders to be absolutely focused on having that effort to get it right. So the way to summarize these verses is plan it, schedule it, and do it. The doing is absolutely crucial. Finally, verse 20. So verse 20 is the final verse here. Do not revile the king even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird in the sky may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what they say. So these are very clear to me. Be careful where you speak. Even your thoughts shared among friends can be dangerous. Even on Facebook, you know, among exclusive friends may not be the safest thing to do. As an academic in Harvard found out, who originated from Singapore, but you know, no names, but he obviously you know, put something on Facebook that perhaps he shouldn't have. So thoughts among friends can also be dangerous. So how do we know this? Sometimes very simple. A little bird told me, and we are familiar with this little bird now. You know, this little bird that is. Okay, and once this little bird gets to know it, other little birds will soon follow, like what you see here. Okay, so be careful, because whatever that you tweet, this little Twitter bird will tweet everywhere. Okay, you have the examples of retweets and re-retweets and all this. Okay, so be careful with words being spoken. So, the wise person should not even criticize someone in the privacy of the bedroom. So of course, just as it was then and it is now today, bedroom is perhaps the most private place that one can imagine and think of. But even there, it is dangerous to criticize someone, especially the someone is the king. Okay? So in case you're wondering where does this phrase "a little bird told me," it came from the Bible. It came from Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. So a wise person will not say something in private that he doesn't want anyone to hear in public. So if you don't want those words to be heard at all, the best thing is don't even speak it. Don't even say it. And that is a very, very important advice. And one politician who served for many, many years and who was successful in almost in every election said this: among my most prized possessions are words that I have never spoken. That is very, very wise. A lot of things ought not to be spoken, okay? And what about churches? It's so true that many churches or fellowship and other Christian groups are hurt and affected by gossips and slander. So I would like to urge everyone, make sure that each one of us have what I call a gossip meter. Okay? Make sure we all have a gossip meter. And make sure that the gossip meter is very sensitive. The moment you hear gossip, you must know what to do. Okay? And that's to stop it. Okay? Be a gossip killer. Okay? In other words, be a gossip killer to say, okay, I'm not interested, or no, you know, let's not go down there, and let's drop the subject, or quickly change the subject. Okay? And you know, we could easily switch channel, change channel to something else. The moment you detect a gossip, kill it and say, no, you know, and quickly switch subject. Like, oh, where can I find the best char kway teow or something like that? Okay. I leave it to you. You know what to do. Okay, so actually, when you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, in fact, it lists down here all the characteristics of a wise leader. Number one, he inclines his heart to the ways of God. That's found in verse 2. Number two, he controls his temper. He doesn't get angry. Number three, he directs the right people to the right position. Okay, he practiced meritocracy, right? Meritocracy. Number four, he thinks ahead. He considers all the possible things that could go wrong, and he avoids those things. Number five, he guards his words carefully. He's extremely careful with his words. He doesn't say words too flippantly. Number six, he put others ahead of himself. Number seven, he has a good work ethics. And lastly, he is a people person. So really, when I look at it, Ecclesiastes chapter 10 has all these characteristics of a wise leader. So in closing, I'd like to leave us all with this verse from James chapter 1, verse 5, which says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So wonderful. You know, and that is something that we need to ask of God. Give me wisdom. Give me that insight to consider, to be able to look further than just the next step. And to consider all this. Otherwise, our labor will be in vain. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to give thanks and praise to you for your word to us this morning. Lord, you have so much to teach us, and today we have learned what it means to be wise, and that is to go exactly the opposite direction from foolish action or thoughts or words. Help us, Lord, therefore, to incline our hearts towards you. May we be found running towards you and all that you are, rather than in the opposite direction. Help us, O Lord, so that we can experience and enjoy a blessed life. For your word has said, "Blessed is he who dwells in your house, and they shall ever be praising you." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.